You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. And yesterday I had the pleasure of speaking with Representative David Harris, who is up in, I believe, Rob Martyr's neck of the woods up in Mount Prospect. Hello, Representative Harris. How are you doing?
Good evening, Patty. I'm fine. Thank you.
It was a pleasure talking with you briefly. I know, and I bent your ear a little bit talking about my son and my concerns about early intervention and other services for our most vulnerable. And having listened to the State of the State address, I was curious what your take was on the governor's plan and tone for moving forward with our budget.
I'm not sure that there was a specific plan that was laid out, but I think what he talked about was on track. He talked about, especially when it comes to human services, that we've spent a lot of money on what he referred to as a broken patchwork of expensive and ineffective interventions. And if he can make it more efficient, that's beneficial both for those who get the services as well as those who pay for the services.
Certainly. Yeah, there's a lot that was in the State of the State address, and I think that a lot of people feel like there might have been a lot that wasn't there. What kind of progress do you hope to see when it comes to working with Democrats and hopefully creating a relationship where you guys can talk to each other about whether it's the turnaround agenda, the budget, those kinds of things?
But, you know, among the members of the legislature, we can talk to each other. We get along fairly well.
I've seen you guys yell at each other a little bit. I'll be honest with you.
Sometimes the passions get carried away, but we can work together, and we do on many issues. This budget impasse is proving to be very frustrating, I think, to a great many legislators. I have to tell you, I'm not optimistic that we're going to see any movement anytime soon to break the impasse.
Interesting. You and Leader Lou Lang have expressed that exact same sentiment because Leader Lou told me last week he would not be surprised if this took most of Governor Rauner's term, if not the entire term. Do you think it's that dire?
I'm not that pessimistic. My colleague Representative Lang is a lot more pessimistic than I am. Hopefully, we can get this resolved much sooner than that. It won't be easy, but gosh, I sure hope it doesn't last throughout the entire term.
You know, somebody was asking me if there's a way for the legislature to just, you know, put a budget together. Because can you explain a little bit to listeners? Because we keep talking about the turnaround agenda and how that's tied to the budget. I know the governor presented a budget last year. You and the Senate have the opportunity to also present a budget. Where did that end up last year as far as all three of those proposals?
What happened last year was that a budget was passed that was passed strictly by the majority party, the Democrats. Mm-hmm. They admitted that it was as much as $3 to $4 billion out of balance. They sent it to the governor. The governor vetoed it. Excuse me. That's what started the impasse. It was at that point that the legislature has a constitutional responsibility to pass a budget that is relatively in balance. It goes to the governor. He can make adjustments, but it's not his constitutional responsibility to completely whack $3 to $4 billion, and he has to work with the legislature to get a relatively balanced budget. The legislature is a leadership-driven institution. Representative Lang, as an example, could introduce a bill, pass a bill, and if it gets vetoed by the governor, it doesn't go anywhere. I could introduce a bill, and it may not go anywhere because I'm a Republican and the Democrats control the legislature. So there has to be agreement among the key parties, the House, the Senate, and the governor. There has to be an agreement to move something forward. If there isn't, then we're stuck. And right now, there's no agreement.
Oh, here, our newsman, Rob Martyr, would like to join the conversation.
Yeah, I was just going to say, Representative Harris, we know what the big bulky issues are. You've got Governor Rauner's turnaround agenda that he would like to see some movement on. You've got the Democrats who always argue that their values can't be infringed upon. Is there any talk back room, back door, in the hallways, over coffee, of a starting point? Is there somewhere where Democrats and Republicans can say, okay, here is ground zero, let's work out from there?
Personally, I think there is. I have argued for a long time that there is a middle ground and that there needs to be movement towards that middle ground. What does that mean? That means a little bit of compromise. That's what that's sort of the grease.
What specifically is that middle ground, though?
Mm-hmm. Well, look at what we're talking about by way of what the governor wants. The governor wants changes in collective bargaining, in workers' compensation, in rules related to prevailing wage and project labor agreements. There are ways to do that. Does every single project need to be subject to prevailing wage? Does every single construction project need to have a project labor agreement tied to it? No, not necessarily. Maybe there are levels that you can put in there, a certain level regarding a prevailing wage or collective bargaining as an example. Does everything have to be collectively bargained? Not necessarily. Look at the other side, revenue. Right now we're in a revenue crunch because of the fact that tax was went down from 5% to 3.75% on the individual income tax rate. That's a reduction of over $3 billion in revenue from one year to the next. Okay, do we have to go back up to where it was before? No, but maybe there's some sort of minor increase that's possible. We can close loopholes. We can cut expenses, and we can come to a middle ground.
Yeah, that's the hardest thing is I know that the Democrats have dug their heels in, and it does seem as though the governor has dug in as well. And that's where it seems like there isn't that middle ground seems to be untenable. It seems to be unattainable. You know, what are you hearing from your constituents when they contact you, whether by email or by phone or visiting you?
I have to tell you, I hear both sides. I hear both sides. It depends on who you talk to, of course. Folks who support the governor say, stay with the governor. Folks who say, hey, we need a budget, say, do something to pass a budget and don't dig your heels in. So I really do hear both sides. And personally, I believe, as I've said before, there is a middle ground. We've got to get to that middle ground. We do have to pass a budget or this state is going to be in just absolutely terrible condition we're in terrible condition now. It's only getting worse by the day.
Is there a way for the Democrats to pass a veto-proof budget? Is that something that they just don't have the will to do? Because someone was asking me that as well.
You know, interestingly, the Speaker was very direct the other day when he, after the State of the State message, he admitted, he said, look, there is a supermajority in both the House and the Senate, but we do not have a supermajority that's able to override a gubernatorial veto. Again, that's why you need an agreement, because right now, even though the Democrats have superior numbers, they do not have sufficient numbers because of the voting pattern of some of their members. They don't have sufficient numbers to override a governor's veto.
Right. We saw that with the votes on the millionaire tax and keeping the 5% tax. That's Franks, Durkin, and Drury are three of the reps that tend to, you know, because depending on what their constituents want, what they believe in, not necessarily, you know, and that they always vote against the Democrat policies or bills. But that seems to be the trend as far as some of those revenue based bills that they vote on.
Every legislator has his own his or her own perspective on any individual issue. So
right, of course, and as they should, right?
Exactly right. And the Speaker of the House, even though he has 71 Democrats, he can't absolutely convince every single one of them to vote one way on a bill every single time. So it's not as easy to simply say, well, he's got a supermajority. That isn't always the thing that carries the day.
But a lot of people say that Speaker Madigan, you know, runs the state. Like he's actually the core reason that we're at this place in our budget, because he has that kind of control. You're saying he can't force his representatives to do whatever he wants.
Well, it's been obvious. I mean, he doesn't have the votes to override a gubernatorial veto.
Right.
So that's, again, comes back to why we need an agreement. Nothing happens unless there's an agreement between the House, the Senate, and then the governor says yes and doesn't veto the bill.
Representative Cabello yesterday said that he kind of was hoping that the governor would say, as part of his State of the State address, that the doors would be locked and you all had to stay until something was accomplished. Would that have been one way to get there?
I have disagreed with that type of position, and many of my colleagues have called for a special session to stay down there for as long as possible. I've been involved in a lot of special sessions in my career, and in the end, it keeps coming back to that need for an agreement. You can sit there all day long and talk about possibilities, but unless there is some agreement between the legislature and the executive, between the General Assembly and the governor, unless there's some agreement to do something, to say these are what we are willing to sign into law, whether it's a regular session or a special session, it doesn't happen. There's got to be that agreement.
Well, we hope that we come closer to a middle ground, and we appreciate your time tonight, Representative Harris. Do you mind if we invite you back and check in with you again sometime soon?
I don't do too many interviews at 11 o'clock at night, so call me anytime.
That's good to know that you're up. We appreciate that. We were teasing before that we didn't think any Republicans stayed up past 10 o'clock, so apparently we're finding a few.
Well, I'm one of them, I guess.
Oh, wonderful. We will talk to you in the next couple weeks, and we wish you the best of luck. And do us a favor, go fix the state, will you?
I will try.
All right.
Good to talk to you.
Thank you so much, sir. More after this on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez, 720 WGN.